All right. Good evening, ladies. And we are again, or continuing on with peace. We are continuing on with our verse, which is back here, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Isaiah 26:3. So we ended last week talking about his wonderful peace and that it's really a person. It's really a person. Peace is a person. Okay. So picture this with me. Go here with me. The early morning silence after a snowstorm. You open that outer door and you look out onto that fresh snow. There's no footprints in it. There's no anything in it. It's quiet. It's calm. It's serene. And it is a feeling. It is a great, it is just this sense, just this amazing sense of peace really does come over you. It's peaceful. You smile and your heart is calm. Yet you turn back into the house and you close the door and the kids are arguing, the kitchen's a mess, and you're wondering how your paycheck is going to cover all of the expenses that are due. And that peace that was only moments ago out there on that freshly fallen snow is gone. It's gone. And what has taken over? Well, what has taken over are that I'm not sure I can pay the bills. And yet again, I'm into an argument with either my husband or I've got a million kids shouting at me and we've got places to be, things to do. All of those things come onto my plate and peace is out the door. So we say, why can I not have that calm, serene feeling that I had really less than 10 minutes ago? That's what I want. And here it is in a nutshell. That's actually what we're searching for. When I say peace to you, it's not like you don't understand what that feels like. You very much understand what that feels like. And herein is going to be the problem. All right? We're searching. We are literally searching for a peaceful, calm life, protected from the chaos of the world, our work, our families. It's to be a life that runs smoothly without interruption, without relational disputes. It's supposed to be calm and peaceful and still. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for, which is, my sweet friends, why it eludes us. Because we're trying to be minus the chaos. We're trying to be all of those things, okay? And that is not where our peace is found. That is not what our peace is going to be, okay? So I'm going to reference here a verse that we had earlier, probably my life verse, I think, and it is my absolute favorite. So you're gonna know it. It's Psalm 46:10, and it is, be still, and know, recognize, understand that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, that is in the Amplified version. Okay, and here it is in another version. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent. Stop your striving and you will see that I am God. I'm the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. That's in the Passion. That's Passion Translation. And then a personal favorite of mine, which will sound a little bit familiar to you because I loved it months ago and I still do love it. And that is the Message translation. And it says this: step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God. Above all the politics, I am above everything. I am above everything. That has never meant more to me than it does right now with all of the political unrest that we have in our world, okay? And he is saying, be still, step out of the traffic. I'm above it all. I know that you're wrapped up in all of the stuff that you have going on right now, or all of the things that are going on in your world and in the political arena and in all of the things that are going on. And I'm God over it all. And I am God over it all. And not I may be exalted when it's all done. It's I am exalted. I will be exalted. And do you not forget for 1 minute who I am. Who I am. See why there's unrest. See why there's no peace. It's honestly, we got to stop. We got to stop our striving. We got to stop getting wound up about it. We have to stop. We have to step back. And it's a simple fact. God is over it all. None of this escapes his view. None of this. Every bit of this, God is aware of. And he's God over it all. And we are not. And we are not. Simply put. So when we think be still, often we go to, it's an instruction that our parents gave us when we had to sit in church and we were fidgety and we didn't want you. And you can relate. Can you relate? Just a little bit. Okay. So it's be still, be still, be still. Okay. So that's what, so over and over and over again. Okay. Or be still, but usually moms take it up a notch when they're doing somersaults on the furniture and they're doing other things. Sometimes be still. Be still is the quiet, polite thing that you say when you're in church, because that's the only thing that you want anybody overhearing you say. Okay. Now, when it turns into utter chaos and they're destroying the house and they're doing all those other things, oh, I think you're using a few choice words, but you simply do want for them to be still. That is what you want. No matter how you're phrasing it, that's what you want them to do. You want them to stop it. Just stop it. Okay. All right. So what we're really saying is be still, stop it. Give me some peace. I don't want to hear it anymore. I heard my daughter say that a few times. I don't want to hear it anymore. And I just think I think back and I go, oh, I do remember those days. I do remember those days. All right. Okay. So be still. Be still. Stop your striving. Be still. Quit trying to create a situation where you can't change the chaos. And though that's what you want to do, you can't do that. So from that parental training, we have been led to believe that being still means sitting. It means waiting. It means hands folded, not moving, being quiet. Yet in this verse, that's not at all what it means, actually. Okay? It doesn't mean sitting down and doing nothing. Every single one of these is not a state of being verb. They are an action verb, okay? They are an action verb. Let me list them for you, okay? The singular Hebrew word for be still is rapha, rapha. And it is a verb that means to let go. It is a verb that means to relax. It is a verb that means to release. It is a verb that means surrender, okay? It is to actively and purposefully let go of your expectations. Oh, hello. Let go of your expectations. To have an expectancy for God to meet you in the chaos, not to remove the chaos. This is when you will learn and experience what true peace really is. Okay? It's not to be minus the chaos. It is to experience his peace, him in the chaos. It means releasing and giving your problems to God, fixing those eyes, again, your focus, fixing your eyes, giving them to God, the only one big enough to take in all your stuff anyway, all the calamities of life, the only one that could take all the chaos and turn it into peace, the only one that can. Heaven only knows we've tried as women, as mothers, as wives. Oh, hey, hello. We do that all the time. We're always trying to bring the peace, so to speak. And this might be where I say, how's that working for you? Not usually so great. Not usually so great, okay? And if it does work for even just a short bit of time, I will promise you that peace is temporary and fleeting. And it's going to be out the door just exactly like closing the door on that freshly driven snow. It's going to be gone just that quick, because it came from you and you were the source of it. And it's time for us to tap into the true source of it. And though he may not stop the chaos, and though he may not stop the trouble, though he may not do any of those things, oh, he promises you his peace. Go with it. That wonderful, wonderful peace. To go through it. That he promises you. Because here's what we know. True and lasting peace, it's not a location. It's not out there on that freshly driven snow. It's not a location. It's not a place. It's not a quiet retreat. It's not that. Because you come home away from the retreat and it's not peaceful again, okay? So it's not a location. It is not a feeling. Peace is a person. Peace is a person. It is in the person of Christ. It is in the person of him. So God's plan is that we would all experience his peace. That we would all experience it. Peace was the very first attribute ever spoken of him. Peace was the very first attribute ever spoken of him. The first declaration of his life. And it's in Luke 2:14. And this is what it says. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That proclamation could have been delivered to kings and leaders, yet that heavenly announcement came to shepherds on a hillside. You see, those considered to be the lowly working class. God was revealing his message for peace. And he did it to the most humble and the most humble posture of a heart, the heart of a shepherd, the most humble of heart And that's who he delivered it to. That's who he delivered that. Look at, here he is, here he comes, this proclamation. So in order for us to have this peace, in order for us to experience this peace of this amazing person inside of us, we have to be still. We have to release. We have to relax. We have to surrender. And then that peace, Emmanuel will be with you. He's in you. He will be with you. Powerful, powerful thing. Trust is another thing that we talked about last week. We talked about trust. So I'm going to be referencing Mark 4 and Matthew 8. Mark 4, and we're going to start at verse 35. And it says, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. So leaving the crowd, Jesus had been ministering all day long. All day long. He was tired. Okay. He said, let's go over. Go over to the other side. So leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat. And there arose a fierce storm of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was filling up with water. Jesus himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and they said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, hush, be still. Hush translates peace, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And that word faith is, do you still have no trust? No trust. Okay? All right. So, suddenly, okay. In a ferocious storm, violent wind, waves crashing into the boat, okay? And they run to him and they say to him, don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus calms the storm with his words and his presence. Hush, calm down. He rebukes it in his native language. Peace, be still. And the violent wind dies down and the raging sea is perfectly calm. You see, in our own overwhelming circumstances, we often ask the same self-centered questions as the disciples did. Don't you even care? Don't you even care? Don't you see me with my needs? Don't you see me with my fears? Where are you, God? I'm about to die here. Why are you not moving in my situation? Are you asleep? Are you asleep? And Jesus simply asks the same question that he asked his disciples. And he said, haven't you yet learned to trust? This is the bottom line question. Why am I so afraid? And where is my trust? Why am I so afraid? And where is my trust? Has it gone, been shifted because of my wrong thinking? Most likely, yes. because most of our greatest storms are fought right up here. Most of them are fought right up here. And let's not be too quick to judge those disciples. When we get to read the scriptures, we're like, well, for heaven's sakes, he was in the boat with you. You know, I mean, we get to read it. We get to, you know, we get the cliff notes. We get the end of the story. We know how this is going to end, right? And we're like, well, for heaven's sakes, he was right there. You'd seen him do miracle after miracle, healing after healing. You'd seen him do it all. There, I mean, my goodness. And he was right there with you. So really, why were you afraid? That's what we might say, okay? Only we'd have to ask ourselves that same thing. He was in the boat with them, but he wasn't in them. So we have to ask an even harder question to ourselves, okay? Before we go pointing a finger at them, we have to realize that some of those that are getting a bird's eye view to us up in heaven are going, what is the matter with them? Are they not aware he's in them? What? What are they so afraid of? Why are they not weathering this? Why? He's in them. Yeah, that's what they would say. Wow, that's what they would say. See, think about that. Our battles are won and lost in the mind. They are won and lost in the mind. Our peace and our responses are going to go the direction that we allow our minds to take us. Again, with that focus, our peace and our responses in our situation are going to go the direction that we allow our minds to take us. Our enemy is right there to use every opportunity to steal our trust, and he sinisterly sits there and smiles when our thoughts carry us to the worst possible scenario. See, he's laid such nice groundwork, and we do all the rest of the work for him. He just lays the groundwork, and then we're off and running. We're anything but peaceful in the situation, and we're off and running to the worst case scenario. What's gonna happen? And he is author, Satan, that is, author of the why, the whys, and the if onlys, and the should haves. He's the author of that. The what ifs, the if onlys, the should haves, okay? His desire is that you are going to go to autopilot and that you are going to agree with his never-ending lies, because you know what? They're just going to keep coming. They're just going to keep coming. They are. They really are. In essence, he is saying, God doesn't see you. He doesn't care. He's abandoned you in your greatest hour of need. Serves you right for making that choice. You're a lost cause. And those are the things that we would never say that we're consciously buying into. We kind of are. Because those are the things that we're letting swirl around in the mind. We've let it take one too many turns on the hamster wheel. One too many. And now it's the thing directing. It's the thing directing the path. I have said this before. It begins as a thought, which then does what? It begins with the thought, and it moves to the action. It moves. It's going to go to the action. See, as the mind thinks, where the mind thinks, your little feet are going to carry you. It's kind of scary, actually, if It's kind of scary, okay? Unless you're taking those thoughts captive and unless you're getting them on whom they need to be. Now, that's a way different deal. That's a way different deal because you're going to get your peace restored. You're going to get your life restored, and you're going to be able to walk through whatever it is he's asking you to walk through. Whatever it is that you find yourself in, or whatever you find yourself in, you will find that you can weather it. You can walk it. You can walk it. You don't have to be strong in you. You just have to trust him. You just have to trust him. You have to trust him to be your more than enough. He isn't just enough. He is more than enough. Okay? And here's the thing, all right? Jesus never meets our storms with accusations. If you're being accused, that is the enemy of your soul. If you are being accused, that is the enemy of your soul. Jesus never meets our storms with accusations. This is what Jesus does. In love and gentleness, he asks a simple question. Haven't you learned to trust me yet? He wasn't rebuking them. He wasn't chiding them. He wasn't saying to them, what's the matter? Is your faith not where it should be? No. He was gently saying this. Haven't you learned to trust me yet? Haven't you seen enough yet? Haven't you seen me? Haven't I shown you over and over and over again? Not in the very beginning, not in the middle, and not ever am I going to leave your side and not walk you through it. Nothing is too deep. Nothing is too full of grief and sorrow. Nothing is too full of anger and frustration. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing, not ever. And he can walk you through it. And he will never accuse you. Satan is the accuser. That's one of his names. That's actually one of his names. And we kind of forget it because we let our mind go there. And we imagine and we hear those accusations. You're not enough. You're not enough. You're displeasing God. You are displeasing him with your actions. With your sin right now, you are not pleasing him. Isn't that the voice of God? That is the voice of the enemy of your soul. Because he wants you to die in that state of hopelessness, giving up, taking one's own life, feeling like there is nothing to live for. That right there, he's the author of that. He is the accusing voice. You're never enough. You're never going to be enough. You're never any of those things. Okay. Jesus just simply says, haven't you learned to trust me yet? Haven't you? Come on. Come on. You can do this. You can do this. Trust is never easy because it involves a risk. It involves a risk. Trust is our willingness to be vulnerable. And let's face it, I think most of us don't like that very good. I do any of you sign up for a job, a situation, any of those kinds of things where you're vulnerable? No. We don't sign up for that. We sign up for things that we think we could manage doing, not something that we think we couldn't manage doing. Okay? That takes a risk. That takes a risk. And we're not into that so much. We want a sure thing. We want a sure thing. Trust is not easy because it involves a risk. It involves our willingness to be vulnerable to your actions and to your intentions. It It means that you have to trust. And that's not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do. 46 years ago, I took a risk on a man that I vowed to trust, that I vowed to trust with my heart, okay? And his faithfulness to me in these 46 years, in the hardest of times, okay, makes me feel safe. It makes me feel secure. And it gives me peace. And it gives me peace. I don't question his intentions. I don't question his intentions. I trust him because I know him. And I trust him because he would lay down his life for me. He would protect me. I don't doubt that for a minute. He would protect me with his own life if that's what it required. That right there. Okay. Well, guess what? Guess what? Jesus did that. Jesus does that, and Jesus did that for us. Okay. But now let's talk about those 46 years. I'm telling you this on the heels of 46 years, okay? There were a lot of things in 46 years. There was a lot of life. There's been a lot of life lived in 46 years. And not all of it good. And lots of it trying. And lots of times you have to work through the things. You have to work through the things. The things that are not good, the things that, for lack of a better word, things that, I may have distrusted his intentions, you know, because of certain actions and doing certain things and stuff like that. And I could and did focus there some of the time in, you know, through the years. I did that. But I would always come back. I would always come back to this, even in the difficult places and the difficult stuff. When I was going through it, I would say, God, I don't know that I can trust him. I don't know that he has my best interest at heart or the family's best interest at heart right now. He's not in a good place. He's not in a good place. And I'm not sure that I can trust him. True words, true story. Okay? And God said, right now, I'm not asking you to trust him. I'm asking you to trust me. Do you trust me to take you through this difficult place that you find yourself in? Do you trust me? And I said, yes. And he said, good, because you're going to have to hang on for all you're worth, kid, to me. And though I did not and could not feel that those are just true words. I did not feel that he could be trusted at that point in time, okay? But I could trust the one who made me, and I did, and that's what I chose to do. And in that, because that is what I chose to do, you get to the place where I would trust my man with my life now. With my life. You see, if you will trust your maker, If you will trust him with all of your heart in the things that you don't feel that you can trust, or the things that you may think are not well, it's him, God, that you have to trust. That's who you have to trust. And that's where that peace comes from. And I remember going through a excruciatingly difficult period of time. And I remember being asked by different ones, how in the world are you doing it? And I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. But God is doing it in me. And God has somehow surrounded me in a bubble. And I don't feel a thing. I don't feel, I'm okay. I'm okay. That is this amazing God that lives within you. And he is only ever the heartfelt cry of your heart to walk you through anything, anything, everything. And he will give you this immeasurable, undeniable, amazing peace that you cannot explain, that transcends life, it transcends death. It doesn't make any sense to this lost and dying world, but it is real. It is real. And then there's a beautiful thing, because then you, if it's him that you trust, then your trust returns for the person. Then your trust returns for the person. I can't, you know, that now, if I look back, though I thought it went on forever and ever, that period of time, it's a blip. It is a blip. In 46 years, that is nothing but a blip on the radar. But I know that's not what it feels like when you're going through it. I know that's not. Because even just in the retelling and the story, just in the retelling, it takes me back there. And it seemed like it went on forever. Only it really didn't. So you see, there really is an end. There really is an end in sight. There really is. But it's God that you have to trust. And then it can come back for those most prized and precious loved ones. But that's how it works. Our trust in God, that place of a deep and inner peace, that place, the more that we know of him, the more that we know of him, of his love and his unchanging character. It's like I'm saying, meditate on these verses of peace. Meditate, meditate, meditate on them. The more that you know of his love and his unchanging character, the more you are going to trust, the more that you will trust. Okay? That perfect peace comes when you fix your eyes on him and your thoughts on him, and that you believe in your heart of hearts that his intentions toward you are good. His word does tell us that over and over and over. In Jeremiah, it says, oh, I know the plans that I have for you, and they are not for your destruction. They are plans for good. I know what I have planned. You may not know. You don't know yet. You don't see yet, but I know. And I know this might feel like this is destruction to you. No, this is not. And I have promised to peacefully walk you through it. I've promised that. Okay. Understand his intentions toward us are always good, because he is good. And understand this. Isn't this interesting? Fear and worry never have to be invited. They are unwelcome guests. They are unwelcome guests, and they rush in when things are hard. They are not invited by you. They rush in. Again, we are talking the enemy of your soul. They rush in. But you see, peace comes when you will courageously, and I say that courageously because I say it takes some courage, ladies. It's going to take some courage to invite Jesus into your storm, to invite him into your difficult relationships, to invite him into your overwhelming circumstances. It's going to take courageousness, but you have to invite him in. Okay? If you didn't have to invite him, he lives in you. And peace would be permeating out of every pore of your being because he lives in here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he is peace, and he is love, and he is kindness, and he is joy, and he is all of those things. Okay? He's all of those things. Okay? And you just be walking around, you just be peaceful all the time. Not how it happens. Not how it happens. He will wait to be invited into your stuff, even though he resides there. You don't just get to experience it because he's in there. No. You have to invite him into your chaos. You have to invite him into your decisions. You have to invite him into your mess. You have to invite him into that. You have to invite him in. Is it peace you want to experience? Is it presence of mind? Is it wisdom? Is it direction? Is it, what is it that you want to experience? Because that is a whole living, breathing presence, powerful presence of God that is in you. And we're not tapping in. No, we're not tapping in. Nope. We read about it. We even read about it in the Word. We read about it. But if what you want to do is experience it, wow, you have to invite him in. You've got to invite him in, all right? Peace is not the absence of difficulties, but it is the presence of a trustworthy God who sees us, who cares for us deeply, and will never abandon us. And you know what he does? Let me tell you what he does. He speaks to our fears. He speaks to our whys. He speaks to our what-ifs. And this is what he speaks. Hush. Calm down. He said that day in the boat. And that is what he speaks over your stuff. Okay? He doesn't go. He doesn't let us entertain them more. He speaks to them and he says, hush, be still, be quiet. You know what? That's what I want. I want him speaking to my fears. I want him speaking. I want him quieting them down with the firm words that he used that day. And he calmed those waves. And he calmed that sea. If you want that, then you invite him in. You invite him in. And you say, oh God, I cannot trust this person. I cannot trust this situation. I do not know. It is beyond me. But I do trust you. I do trust you. I trust you. I want to trust you. And I think that maybe somewhat like the father of the demon-possessed boy, when God said to him, he wanted his son delivered, and God said to him, it is possible if you believe. And he said, I do believe, but help me in my unbelief. But help me in my unbelief. I think your trust is a little bit like that. Faith and trust are a word. And belief and unbelief are a word. Okay? The one is the noun. The other is the verb. Okay, your faith is your salvation. It's where you trust, it's where you believe, and you have your faith. Your faith is intact. You have that. You have your salvation. That is your salvation. Your trust is what you will spend the rest of your breathing life down here developing for that amazing God. That's the verb. That's the part. That's the part. Okay, that's the thing that's got to grow. That's the thing that's got to be developed. That's the thing that we have to grow more into. So, like the Father, I do believe you, God. I believe you. I believe you for my salvation. Now help me with my unbelief because my actions are, I'm fearful and I don't know what that looks like. Okay, that right there. That's what we have to do. We have to let that happen. We have to let that happen. We have to develop our trust. We have to develop our trust. And when I couldn't have it for a person, God told me, you don't have to have it for him right now, but you do have to have it for me. And you have to hang on and you have to trust me. You have to trust me. Precious, precious gift that I received because I say it over and over and over again. I think it's my thing, and it is trust him. Hang on for the ride. It proves to be an adventure. And somebody very special to me actually had a plaque made for me that says that because I keep it close. I say it a lot, but you can say something a lot and not do it. You know, you can say it a lot and not do it. And I found even just the other day, I found, okay, nope, I'm not trusting you there because I do lack peace. You know, when I told you last week that where am I lacking peace? And you got to search out those dust bunnies because they're hiding under your bed. They're hiding in places you don't need them hiding. And you got to seek them out. Okay. Well, I thought of something these last 2 weeks. Okay. Dust bunnies are on hardwood floors, but they're on carpeted floors. And they disguise themselves on carpeted floors. When's the last time you vacuumed under your bed? Okay, not vacuuming under your bed. Who's doing that? Okay, nobody's doing that. Not till you move the bed. I just recently have done that because I needed to flip the mattress. I needed to do some house cleaning, so to speak. I have a vacuum cleaner that I can see how much I had emptied the container. Okay, I had emptied the container before I started this project. Yeah, it went pretty. I nearly filled it. And how do you think that makes me feel? Not great, okay? So I'm just saying, they're a little more evident on, you know, they're a little more evident on hardwood floors or linoleum, okay? A little more evident. I see them out there on my tile, so I see them much more quickly. What are the areas that you've got to try to find? Because you've got them, whether you see them or not. Whether you have a carpeted floor or a carpeted sole, or whether you have a hardwood sole, whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. They're there. So ask him. Pray the prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me in your way, okay? So more of the same for this next 2 weeks. Trust him. Quit trying to place your trust in other persons or other situations, or maybe it's your job, maybe it's your this, maybe it's your that, maybe that's what you're trusting for your provision instead of trusting God. But there are areas, and it's him you're going to have to trust, because you see, That's what's going to calm things down. That's what's going to let you walk in deep and abiding peace, no matter what's coming. And there's plenty coming. There's plenty coming that will be out of your hands. Plenty coming that will be over your head to deal with unless you grab hold and start getting this peace where it belongs. Not just knowing it, but literally inviting it in. Literally inviting it in. God, I don't know what the outcome of this is. I have no idea, but I trust you. And I know that it will be for my good. I know that it will. See, if your peace and your security is weak or is missing, it is that your trust is in something other than the person. So who is your peace? Okay. And just hear him quietly say to you, not in condemnation, not in accusation. Just hear him simply and quietly say to you, haven't you learned to trust me yet? Am I not God? Am I not God? Am I still not God? Because he is. Because he is. Precious Jesus, thank you for your word to us this evening. Father, I pray that it go deep. I pray that it go deep and that it permeate every part of our being. Lord, that we learn to invite you in, and that we learn to trust you in a way that we have not previously done. Precious God, that wonderful peace that transcends all understanding will be ours as we steadfastly fix our eyes on you. That right there, God, that is what we desire. And we do desire, Father, to trust you above all else and know that you indeed are God. Let us stop our striving. Let us stop all of the things that we're doing in place of just sitting before you and crying out, God, you are God, and I love you, and I trust you, and only you. In your precious, precious name, amen.